Good morning. When I think about God's great faithfulness, I do stand in awe of Him. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Wonderful and powerful prelude this morning. So good to see in the house of the Lord. The songwriter said, as we enter, let us bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Let's offer up it in the spirit of thanksgiving with sacrifices of joy. And then we will sing about the gladness that the Lord Jesus is, for He has made me glad. Oh, it's the Lord's Day. It's the day, the first day of the week, the day He resurrected from the tomb. I trust that you know the joy of the living Savior. Stand if you would. Sing with your heart. Let those choruses minister to you. Offer up the sacrifice of praise.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
If He makes you glad, say amen. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for another beautiful day. Lord, thank You for allowing us to come to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning to worship You. Father, I thank You for the people that You brought here today. I thank You for the traveling mercies You gave them. I thank You for the visitors we have here today. I feel that they will be blessed for being here today. They're here for a reason, and You know that, Lord. Lord, we just ask You to be with them as they are here today. Father, just ask You to be with us as our service continues. Continue to hedge of protection You've put around this church, Lord. You give us so many blessings each and every day. We're thankful, and all the praise is due unto You. Father, I'm often asked, what religion am I? I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with You, Lord. Someone here today might not have a relationship with You. May today be the day that they accept You as their Savior so they can have a relationship with You, Lord. Father, don't let them go out of here today not knowing what it is to feel You in their body and their whole. Allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in them today, Lord, as they accept You. Father, be with Pastor Hunter as he brings us the book of John again. Father, I ask You to preach Your word through him. Allow us to open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear Your word that You so elegantly written down, Lord. Lord, we love You. Be with us now as we wave to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
It's so good today to be in the house of the Lord and to wave. I trust I'm waving to all you folks watching online. Welcome, if you would, this morning. You don't know this chorus, but it's a great little chorus. It's designed to bring about a gratitude in your life. And so fitting for the preaching of the Word of God to speak about the love of God. The Bible says that no man seeketh after God. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, which means God made the first move toward me. Had God not moved toward me, I would have never been able to move toward God. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And for that, I'm so grateful for the cross in which he died upon and the love that brought him. Learn it. You'll do it twice. Just listen to the words. Let it build gratitude in your soul.
Did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you lived yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
Amen. Be seated. What a chorus. What truth. What a joy. What a reason to praise the Lord. Another reason to praise the Lord is we get to meet together in the house of the Lord this morning. Welcome to Plantation Baptist Church. Delighted to have you. And delighted to see our church family as we're seeing you more and more and more. And we're so excited about that. Folks scattered all up in the balconies and the sides. And what a delight. If you're watching online today, we miss you. We love you. We send our best love and appreciation to you. Make sure that you check in. Let us know you're watching. My phone was already ringing early this morning, I think from South Dakota. Somewhere. You got to get up early to text me at 7 o'clock in the morning from South Dakota. And what a joy it was. And they were going to be watching online. And so we're delighted to have you. If you're visiting with us in the service today, I have been waiting since March 15th to make this announcement. Usually prior to COVID, when we would have guests, I would say in the pew in front of you, there is a connection card. This is the way we get to know you and record your visit. And we would ask our guests to reach out, grab the card, take the pin that's there, fill it out, put it in the offering plate when it goes by. I stopped making that announcement because of COVID and everybody got all nervous about that. And then I realized something last week, that in between the services, we sanitize this place like crazy. And so that card and that pen has been, the devil has been sprayed out of that sucker. It's holy. It's righteous. It is anointed with some kind of chemical that will kill you if COVID doesn't kill you. Okay. So, but you can reach out there and grab it, fill it out, put it in the offering plate, give us a record of your attendance today. We're delighted. I'm delighted to let you know we're starting to roll back to normal, and we're doing it carefully, prayerfully, cautiously. But I actually have a whole sheet of announcements to make today. I haven't made an announcement in forever. And so you probably forgot how to listen to an announcement. I'll go quickly. Let's begin with the Awana program. September 9th on a Wednesday night, we're hoping and praying to and planning on having our first night of Awana. And this is a scripture memory program for our young people. This is a way that we win many boys and girls to the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and we are opening. We need volunteers for that and help for that. There is a number you can text if you would like to help. You can go online and do that if you would like to. You would need to be able to pass a background check so we can meet that requirement, and we sure would appreciate your help. Brother Todd Heitschu will be our commander again. And we're looking forward to having the children. They are making some adjustments, of course, for the distancing and the responsibility that we have. But we are going to get back to teaching our young people the Word of God on September 9th. We've been doing a wonderful job throughout this time with our Kids for Christ. And we look forward to that transition. September 12th is a Saturday. And we have two events to announce on that day. You see on the billboard there, Peggy and Danny Segura, and I don't think that they're here today. I hope we got permission to use that picture or Peggy's going to kill somebody, but she's going to have a baby here pretty soon. And you can tell progress is going by because a few weeks ago we were doing drive-by, now we're doing drop-in. And so by and in is a change. Drop-in doesn't mean stay long. That just means drop your gift off and leave. But it looks good on that billboard there. So, ladies, please respond there for a baby shower. They're registered at myregistry.com. And they've been making their nursery in their home. This is their first child. And they're excited. And so pray. They're probably watching online. And I know that that'll be a blessing. That evening on the 12th, we have a youth activity for our junior and senior hires. We're going to have a barbecue and a bonfire, and of course they are looking forward to that. Our kids have been meeting together on Wednesday night, bringing guests, witnessing Christ in their, to their friends, and it's just wonderful to see how that is going to happen. Have a special speaker on September 13th. This will be our day that we will set aside for missions. We used to set aside a whole month, but because of where we find ourselves, we're going to set aside a Sunday and have Dr. Phil Stringer come and preach to us on missions. And then, do you have the slide for the anniversary Sunday? The last Sunday of the month, September 27th, if I did my math right, 2020 minus 1962, our church will be celebrating 58 years as chartered as a lighthouse for the gospel. We should applaud that. In a couple of years, the church is going to be able to receive Social Security. That'll be wonderful. So this is my plan. Normally we have a big lunch and all that kind of stuff. Of course, we're not going to be able to do that. I want to use this Sunday to be a homecoming service. Many of our folks have kind of scheduled in their mind at their comfortability, you know, when they're going to come back to church. Some are here today for the very first time in a long time, and this was their time. I'm asking for you to consider setting, if you haven't been back, September 27th, anniversary Sunday. I want to do the 8:30 and the 10:30, and I want to do communion. We've not been to the table of the Lord in a long time, and so we will have communion there. I will set aside one room over here, a large room that will be distance if you just are high risk and difficult, but you want to come and be part of the service. We will make sure that you have that opportunity, but I want to come to the table of the Lord as the body and the fellowship, recognizing the blessing of God, the faithfulness of God, in 58 years of ministry at Plantation Baptist Church. And so put all of that on your calendar. You haven't had a lot on your calendar lately, and so make sure that you add that as well. Thank you for praying for me. I had the wonderful privilege to travel to Cleveland, Ohio during the week. And folks have been praying for that. And I know the family is, Tracy and all the family is watching today from Ohio. My trip was awesome and it was awful. If you've been with me a long time, you know I know that phrase. It was awesome because God moved in the communion service and three adults trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of them was Dale's brother who received the Lord and others. And so that's fruit and ministry that abounds to Candy's account. And she's praying for her family, Tracy and those folks. The awful part was I got on the plane in Cleveland and a thing broke. So I had to spend the night and didn't get home late. You know what's really assuring when the pilot comes on and says, we've got a broken part here. We're going to see if we can fix it and get going. Okay. Then the pilot comes on and says, we fixed it, but our engineers won't secure it. Okay. Then he comes back and says, oh, they changed their mind. We're good now. We're going. Dear Lord God in heaven, please. And he got me to Atlanta and I spent the night and got home. Aren't you glad at any moment in your life you can go to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need? You know, sometimes you just need some old faithful. We got an old faithful hymn that I want you to sing. You know it. It's that hymn that talks about you visiting the garden while the dew is still on the roses. And to hear the voice that falls on your ear as the Son of God discloses. Oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. This hymn just blesses the church in a marvelous way. Let's stand, let's sing Old Faithful, and let's be reminded of that wonderful fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still in the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Of his voice is so sweet, the birch hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden within, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of Lord. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. Be seated if you would, please. Three prayer requests that are special today. Phil and Beulah Simons. You know Phil and Beulah. We love Brother Phil. They called me this week, and they had just left the doctor, and Brother Phil had received news that he probably knew in his heart, but one thing to hear it out of the doctor's mouth, that his cancer has moved to stage 4. And even though he heard that evil tiding, his heart is fixed. He's trusting the Lord. Beulah said, we're getting ready to go into the original house of pancakes and fix it all. I said, okay, no problem. If you want to fix the problem, there you go. Precious lady named Jody's in our service today, and she's a neighbor of one of our families. And Jody's dealing with severe health issues. And she senses within her spirit just a desire today to be right with God and get close to God and draw near to God. And God is using this in her life, and she would appreciate prayer for Jody today. And then our college young people are making their ways back to school, and I think we ought to be reminded of that and pray for them. Would you pray with me, please, at this time? Heavenly Father God, oh, what a precious moment it was to sing the hymn and not just sing the words, but sing the experience of that times when you walk with us and talk with us. And all the moments that we share is so beautiful and so precious. Lord, unless somebody's ever experienced that, they're not able to fully understand what the hymn writer wanted. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you that you did not wait for us to come to you. You came to us first. And that's so fitting for our message today in preparation of our heart. But it brings about a love and a gratitude. Had God not sought me, had you not drawn me, had you not worked in my life, I would have never come to Jesus Christ. And so thank you for that, Heavenly Father. We give you wonderful glory. Lord, many delights in being a Christian. One of them is the access to the throne of grace. Even on that airplane, when kind of got a little bit of afraid, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. What a joy it was just to bow my head and know that I was in the presence of the throne of grace. And you heard my prayer, you comforted my spirit. And what a joy just to know that I'm in my Father's hand. And so thank you for your wonderful protection. Lord, Brother Phil Simon needs your protection. His heart is strong, his faith is strong. Lord, the doctor has revealed the case with his body, but I pray, God, that you would just minister to him. Lord, he's trusting you. I lift Jody to the throne of grace today, and this sweet, precious lady visiting our church for the second time, and she desires this prayer. Minister to her, draw her to you today. Lord, our young people that will be traveling, protect them, keep them. Lord, as they go to the schools, we see in the news all that is there. So, great physician, minister and use them for your glory. Help me preach today with power and authority. And God, open our ears, let us hear, and open our eyes and let us see Jesus. And we'll trust you and we'll thank you. We love you. Thank you for loving us first now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Listen, if you would, to this instrumental offertory as it ministers to your spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you, Brother Juan. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and once again make your way back to the 6th chapter of the book of John. I will ask you this week and next week one final time to go back to the 6th chapter of the book of John. We have been in this chapter for a few weeks now as we're making our way through the Gospel of John. It should be pretty understandable for it to take us some time to get through the chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Gospel of John. It's 71 verses. And to be honest with you, you could probably preach a minimum of 71 weeks on these 71 verses, as this is just a powerful moment in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The reason the chapter is so long is because it does cover quite a span in the life of the Lord and teaching within the what the Lord has, moments there. I have diagrammed or outlined the chapter with three large points. Hopefully you have them in your memory right now. The chapter begins with a pair of signs or miracles. You know that John was very focused on the signs and miracles of the Lord Jesus. He was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to put these in the gospel with purpose, that as we would see the signs and we would see the miracles, that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You find that as the miracles are performed, they are followed normally by a powerful discourse. And this has been what we have found to be true, consuming most of the chapter, beginning at verse number 32 and going really and truthfully all the way to verse number 60 as a powerful discourse, as the Lord Jesus is presenting himself as the bread of life to the Jewish people, presenting himself as their savior, as their sustainer, presenting himself as the Messiah. You can imagine that this will take some time. And then we move into the third part next week, where I talked about a personal choice. The Lord Jesus gives this powerful discourse to culminate in a personal choice. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 66. This will be next week. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And so you have a pair of signs, you have a powerful discourse, and you have a personal choice. Now, the powerful discourse we find is the one where Jesus is presenting himself as the bread of life. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now you understand what Jesus is doing here. He has presented the sign, the miracle, in the breaking of the bread, in the breaking of the two fishes, in what we call the feeding of the 5,000. And in that moment, he provided for those folks physical bread. They had a physical hunger that needed to be satisfied, and so he provides a physical bread to meet their physical body. And so at the same time, Jesus is going to use that moment to expose a craving that they had. They were not following the Lord Jesus for what they could get from him spiritually. They were following him for what they could get from him physically. I find a lot of people do this. They have a reason that they may follow God or follow Christ or be religious or whatever, but it may not be that all-important spiritual reason, as he is eternal life. And so Jesus is there saying, now fellas, you've been so concentrated on your physical life, you need to labor a little bit for your, or labor for your spiritual life. And what Natural bread is to the physical life where it sustains physical life. There is a spiritual bread that has come down from heaven to sustain your spiritual life or provide life for your spirit. If your physical body does not receive nourishment, it will do what, class? It will die, right? You stop eating food and you stop drinking water, and eventually your physical body is going to die. It takes food to sustain that. Well, our spirit is in a position of death, and it's going to take food to bring alive our spirit and to sustain our spirit. And so what natural bread is to the physical body, spiritual bread, or the bread of God that came down from heaven, is to our spirit. And Jesus is presenting this analogy so that they would see their need for spiritual life. And at the beginning of his preaching, everybody's kind of happy. I find that way. Most of the time at the beginning of my message, everybody loves me. And then as we navigate our way through the message, kind of feelings kind of change, right? So look, if you would please, at verse number 34. He begins to preach about it. In verse number 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So you sense an inclination here. Jesus begins after their invitation here to explain to him what type of bread he is talking about. And when you get down to verse number 41, the Bible says the Jews then did what, class? Murmured, right? So now they went from Lord give us to all of a sudden there's a murmur, there's a complaint, there's an arresting in their thought process, there's a pricking in their mind. Now, as to where they were liking what they heard about this bread that would give eternal life, that they would never be hungry again, they did not understand that or appropriate that properly. So now, in not submitting to that, a murmuring happens. I find that people are sensitive to the preaching of the Lord Jesus and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. But if they don't receive it in that moment, sometimes it can get to a murmuring or a complaining process. Matter of fact, if you come down to verse number 52, it even goes further. In verse number 52, it says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves. This is actually a fighting, a disruption. The Jews therefore were angry and strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So they went from this kind of private, quiet type of murmuring to this public display. And then when you get down to verse number 59... the Bible says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. I've stood in that place. I haven't stood in that exact synagogue. It's been rebuilt, but I've stood in that exact place. And many, therefore, of his disciples, watch this, when they heard this, said, this is an, what does it say? Hard saying. Who can hear it? And this is not a simple statement. When you dig the etymology of what they're saying here, is they're saying this is a difficult, strange, shocking, offensive statement. And then when it says, who can hear it, it carries with it the idea, nobody should have to listen to this garbage. Who do you think you are? What do you mean? We're not listening to that. How dare you say that? So at the beginning of the message, Lord, give us. In the kind of moving toward, that's Greek. As you move past the Greek, you move into some other language. Now they're fighting, right? And then they get to the point to think, who do you think you are, punk? I'm telling you, that response was so powerful because the discourse was so powerful. The discourse, beginning in verse number 32, as I have said, is Jesus exalting himself as the bread of life. We talked about this last week. And Jesus here is exposing their spiritual need and exalting himself as the Son of God. Look, if you would, at verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, And I will raise him up at the last day. They didn't appreciate that. They murmured at that. We left off last week in verse 43 and verse 44. Now Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except, what's that next word? The Father, right? Now that A-N and the, those are definite articles of the description, right? No man can draw them. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now this is important. Let me lay the groundwork for this. What Jesus here is doing is he's drawing a line of distinction. Because those Jews back then, they were taking refuge in salvation in the fact that they were children of Abraham. Many times when the Lord Jesus confronted them about their need for salvation, they would say, excuse me, don't you dare talk to me like I'm a Gentile. Don't you absolutely dare put me in that category. I'm of the seed of Abraham. And what they were saying is, somehow because I was born Jewish in my nature, therefore I am born again. Or because I'm born Jewish, therefore I'm born righteous. And Jesus is letting them know that it was a wonderful privilege for them to be Jews. They were the chosen people of God in the fact that God would work in and through them and protect them and provide for them. But nobody is born again because they are a Jew. Nobody's born again or saved or righteous because you're a Baptist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or an Episcopalian. Pentecostals are probably the closest. Right? That's just like humanity. We like to think because we're Republican, we're Christian. No, neither because you're Democrat are you Christian, right? Nobody is a Christian because of who their earthly father is. We are only a Christian because we've been born of the heavenly Father. Okay? So their response in rejecting Jesus was positioning them because we know your father, he's Joseph the carpenter. Shut your mouth. Who you think you are? Our father's Abraham. And Jesus said, No. I understand what you're saying, but nobody's going to come to me except the Father. And they knew it. God, draw them. This is a powerful statement where we left off. And what Jesus is saying here is beautiful and wonderful. I do think there is some misunderstanding to this verse. Jesus is saying here that no man can come to Christ unless God draws him. And sometimes this verse is used to take this statement of truth and take it further than it wants to go. What Jesus is not doing here is he's not excusing their responsibility as individuals to choose God. He's just letting them know that nobody can be saved or nobody's going to come to Christ unless God the Father draws them. Now you understand this, right? Sometimes you see a bumper sticker and it says, wise men still seek the Lord. The Bible says no man seeks after God. Okay, so the song we sang was, you don't happen to have those words, do you? It's not the Bible, but it is a chorus here, and it does teach the Bible a little bit. If you could put that up, I don't know if you got it or not. I threw them a big curveball. It says, you did not wait for me, right? So Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, no man seeketh after God. In my sinfulness, in my sin nature, I have no desire toward God. I have no desire toward anything righteous. Had God not made the first move toward Tom, Tom would have never wanted God. Okay? So, God did make the first move toward humanity as he came and sent us his son. But God also makes move as he convicts us and draws us and moves within our spirit. But in my unsaved state, I do not have in that ability a natural desire for the things of God. But praise God, God loved me and while I was a sinner. Right? So God makes the move. It's true. No man can come to the Lord Jesus unless the Father draw him. But that does not excuse your responsibility to choose the Lord. Okay? It does not lessen the responsibility of the individual to choose God. Some people want to say, well, if a man is not saved, he's not drawn by the Father. My friends, if a man goes to hell, he went there of his own choosing. If a man or woman is lost, it will be because they did not choose the Lord. It is true that God chooses us, but it is also true that I must come to Christ. And so what some people want to say is they want to say, well, because those people didn't come to Christ, therefore God did not draw them. Well, just because God draws you doesn't mean that you come to the Lord. And by the way, how do you know? You're not a mind reader. You don't know what God has been doing in their life. You don't know how God has revealed himself in their spirit. You don't know how God has shown them through the Word of God. That's why when they stand before God, the books will be open, the Word of God, and the other books, which will probably show where God said, no, Tom, I showed you I was there. No, I revealed you in your mind. No, you knew about it. No, I spoke to you, and yet you did not receive me. You cannot blame God and say, well, God did not draw them. Man has a responsibility to choose Christ. So then it goes on to something called limited atonement. So what they say is this. Well, because that man didn't choose Christ, therefore, and because the Father didn't draw him, then somehow God didn't die for them. I was kind of surprised last week, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I was kind of surprised about how many people believe or thought that God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Like this half is going to go to hell and this half is going to go to heaven. If you'd like to change your seat now, you probably, okay? No. Then the question comes, then people want to say, well, since God didn't draw them and God chose for them to go to hell and for these to go to heaven, then God didn't even die for them. So the question comes, when Jesus died on the cross, did he only die for the Christian or did he die for the whole world? Well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. I don't understand fully how all of that works as far as God choosing, but I know this, God is sovereign. I believe that 100%. But even God's sovereignty is not threatened by man's choice. God didn't want robots, he wanted children. God didn't want robotic love, he wanted man to choose him. And so the responsibility is yes, no man can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. I submit to you, the Father draws all men. By the way, Jesus lighteth every man that comes into the world. And our response to that drawing is our responsibility there. This is what Jesus is saying. He goes on, I can prove it to you. Look if you would at verse number 45. He says, it is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father does what? Cometh unto who? All right, so Jesus goes all the way back to Isaiah chapter 54. And he makes reference here because you want to hide behind your father Abraham and you want to hide behind the prophets. In the book of Isaiah, Jesus, speaking about the millennial period, said, there will be a day when all the children of the Jews will be taught of the Lord. Now, that's in that millennial dispensation. But Jesus is going back and saying, listen, from the beginning, this is the way God has taught his people. And how has he taught them? In verse number 44, it is, what is that word? Written. Where is it written? In the prophets. In the Word of God. Look if you would, go back to John chapter 5. Look if you would at verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, My Father has been communicating to you through the Word, through the prophets. He's drawing you, and the evidence that you have heard Him and the evidence that you have learned of the Father is that you come unto me. And this is the way God draws people today. God draws people from the Word of God. I, in my sinfulness as an unsaved man, am not just naturally drawn to God. I'm drawn to my sin. But God moved in my life. God taught me the Word of God. He exposed the Word of God to me. Through creation, I see God. In my conscience, I see God. Through the Holy Spirit, God has spoken to me. And so God came to seek Tom. We kind of act like we're all sinners and God's hiding from us and just kind of hoping that man doesn't find him. And he's like, oh, you found me. No, God is actively working in our lives to bring us to Jesus. In all of our lives. And he does that through the Word of God. Jesus goes on to say, no man hath seen the Father save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. If that's you, say amen. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are what, class? Dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not what? Die. So your fathers ate that manna, which was physical bread for the physical body, and they died. That wasn't the true bread of heaven. I'm telling you that the Father has sent the true bread of heaven. And if you will eat of the true bread of heaven, you shall eat it and never die. Now, he's not talking about physical death here. He's talking about spiritual death. You and I, when we were born from our mother's womb, we were born dead in our trespasses and sin. And the way that natural food brings life to the physical body, I must have life brought to my spirit. And the only food that can do that is the bread of life, the Lord Jesus. And when I partake of the bread of life, then I will never face the second death. That's the eternal separation from God. That's the lake of fire. That's in a place called hell because of my sin. Praise God, we do not have to experience spiritual death. Okay? It's powerful. Wake up, he's saying. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If, what are those two words? Any man. Any black man, any white man, any red man, any American man, any African man, any Asian man, any Spanish woman. If any man eat of this bread. My friend, salvation is available for all people. God didn't say to the American, you can have Jesus, but to the African, no, you can't. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Amen. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is for the world. Verse 52, they didn't like this. Now they're mad. Now they're actually fighting among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, here's where you got to be able to read the Bible. And here's where, if you're watching me online right now, you need a Bible. You see all these flags? All these flags do not represent missionaries we support. All these flags represent the different nations that are in our body of believers. Okay? So every Sunday I can preach to over 30 some nations just in the room. Those nations have churches. Those nations have teachings. One of the things that I run into a lot is found in the dogma or the doctrine that man has created called the doctrine of transubstantiation. That teaching is a misconstruing of what I am about to read. Now, as a man, I understand that we can identify person to person. But what I am about to read you is not Tom's opinion. It is the eternal word of God. So I need my Catholic friends to listen. If you have ever come before a priest in the Lutheran church and they've put a wafer in your mouth and given you a cup to drink, and in your mind, you're thinking that became the body of Christ and that became the blood of Christ, and what I have just done is an act whereby I am receiving, along with confession, eternal life. You need to listen very carefully. Verse 53. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat, food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live how long, class? Forever. So let's stay contextual. They had just received the broken bread and the broken fish. They have just nourished themselves physically. Jesus wanting them to understand that not only do they have a physical hunger that needs to be satisfied, but they have a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst that needs to be satisfied. And by the way, when you describe hunger, you describe lack, L-A-C-K, lack. There is a lack of nourishment, a lack of food within me. I have a lack of moisture, therefore there is the creation of thirst. And the way that I satisfy that lacking is that I provide substance. Therefore, I eat food or I drink water. Jesus says, spiritually, there is a lack inside of all of us, and that lack is the presence of Jesus Christ. There's our hearts are filled with sin. There's the lack of God's righteousness. So I have this hunger and this thirst that spiritually that needs to be satisfied. Sometimes I try to satisfy it by religion. Sometimes I try to satisfy it by doing good works. Sometimes I try to satisfy it by whatever. But there is this spiritual lack of the righteousness of God or the awakening of my spirit. And the way that physical food satisfies that lack in my physical body, Jesus is the one that satisfies or fills that lack within my spirit. Okay. They didn't like that because if they were going to receive the bread of life, they had to acknowledge their lack. Don't you dare tell me that I got to come to you. I'm fine where I am. I'm of the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, no. You need the bread of life. Now Jesus is really making his point. Sometimes as a preacher, the longer you preach, the more bold you get. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what, fellas. You chewed up and swallowed that bread, right? If you don't eat me and drink me, you don't have eternal life. Now he's not here being literal. He's here being symbolic. Okay? If he was being literal, he would not be God. Because he would have broken the law. The consuming of human flesh and the drinking of human blood was forbidden by the law of God. Matter of fact, on that night of Passover, when they killed the lamb, they ate that lamb, but what did they do with that blood? They put it on the doorpost. In essence, they were drinking it as it dripped down the post, but they did not consume this. Good, honest people who want to be right with God are receiving dishonesty when they are somehow told that a wafer and wine or juice mysteriously becomes the body of Christ. My friends, Jesus had one body. It was crucified, buried, and it's been risen again. The Bible warns about the danger of crucifying Jesus over and over and over again. The Bible also says that no physical consumption can deal with your spirit. Jesus said what goes in the mouth goes in the belly and comes out the draught. Just think about that. Okay? So, and no physical act that I do. The only mystery that the Bible talks about is in the Old Testament. The New Testament is concealed. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. And there's a mystery there. But there is a dishonest teaching that says that eternal life comes through transubstantiation. Jesus is not being literal here. He's being symbolic here. Here's what he is saying. He is teaching that the only way for natural food to become a blessing to your physical body is it must be consumed where? In. I put it in my mouth. I chew it up. I swallow it. Some cast out. Some becomes part of my body. Unfortunately. Right? So what Jesus is saying here is the same way that you consume natural bread internally, the bread of life must be consumed internally. It's not something that you can receive physically as far as a physical act. This is a spiritual moment. Well, Pastor, how do I consume something spiritually? Wonderful. Let's go over here to verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that, what's that word? Believeth on me. Come, if you would, please, to verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, right? And so the Lord Jesus, 98 times in the Gospel of John, the word believe. So the eating and drinking that we do for the natural food, the eating and drinking spiritually is the coming to Jesus and the believing upon him. And as I believe upon him by faith, Jesus moves inside of me. If Jesus is not in you, he's no good to you. If he's not digested in you by faith, as he said, he that, in verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He's not teaching a literal digestion. Nobody in this room would eat physical human flesh or drink blood. And it does not happen mysteriously through a Quaker and a drink, a cracker and a drink, or a wafer and a drink. He's talking here about believing by faith. And as I believe upon Jesus as the payment for my sin, and I receive him by faith as my Lord and Savior, then I consume him that way inside of me. He bursts my spirit and he lives within me, and I become a habitation of God. And therefore, I have eaten of the bread of life, and I will never go to hell. If that's you, say amen. They recoiled at this. And they said, this is an awful, a repudiated, a rejecting statement. And we don't need to listen to this. It's verse 61. Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. And he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that say those two words. All right, so let Pastor ask you a question. You're my people as far as I'm the under-shepherd of this church. You're watching me online all the way around the world. In my Catholic countries, in my Anglican people, in my Lutheran direction, you need to just hear me. You cannot be sitting there thinking that the digestion of a natural food, no matter what the intent is inherited to it, brings salvation. The only food that brings salvation to you is the bread of life, and his name is Jesus. Have you appropriated him inside of you? Have you believed upon him, him alone? He's the satisfaction of our hungering and our thirsting. It is true. No man can come to Jesus except the Father draw him. But when the Father draws him, I want to come. Maybe you're here today with a hunger and a thirst. You ever been in a position physically when you want to eat? Sometimes I get so hungry, and I've worked or whatever, and I just want to eat. And I'll come home and Beverly will say, we're going to have a salad tonight. Is Beverly in the room? Normally that means you look a little heavy, you need to eat less. I'll say, you can eat that, I'm not doing that. And she'll say, what are you doing? I said, I'm starving, I'm going to eat something. Well, where are you going to go? I said, well, you're going to eat salad. What's it matter to you where I go? No, tell me what you're going to do. Are you changing your mind? I hear her laughing back here. So, if you don't want to eat that salad, why do I want to eat that salad? Well, if you're really hungry, I'll put chicken on it. Ladies, when your man wants to eat, chicken added to a salad doesn't make that thing a blessing. When a man wants to eat, he wants red meat. Amen. Amen, Brother Peter. Amen. Right? Okay. So within all of us, there is a spiritual lack when we were born, right? We lacked the presence of God in us. We lacked righteousness. God, in his love, reached out to us first and has drawn us. We have the responsibility to eat, to choose. If you're here today and you're spiritually hungry, you're starving out of your mind, you've tried everything you know religion-wise and nothing will satisfy you, why don't you come eat the red meat of Jesus? Not his physical body and blood, but believe that that body that he took to pay for our sin, that body that was broken on the cross, and that blood that was shed to cleanse our sin, I have appropriated for my sin by faith. Jesus said, eat me and drink me, you'll live forever. Yeah. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, what powerful truth the Word of God is. Just reading it brings a sobriety and a strengthening. They didn't like it. They got mad at him. Who do you think you are? And Jesus said, fellas, you need the bread of life. I am the bread of life. It's funny how people want righteousness until they're confronted with Jesus. He's the only way. And confronting with Jesus makes me confront myself that I'm not able to be good enough or do enough works. I have to acknowledge myself a sinner and believe upon the Lord Jesus as my Savior, knowing that his work is sufficient. And I must take him internally. Food does my natural body, my physical body, no good if it's not consumed. Sit me a big steak in front, but if I don't eat it, what good is it? Jesus can be presented, but if he's not consumed by faith, he's no good to our spirit. Well, he loves us. He died for us. He's there. He's presented himself the bread of life. The Father's drawn us. We need to choose him. I wonder today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just give me a moment. I have many people that are watching online. I have many people in this room. And maybe somehow you've been trusting in some type of church doctrine, some type of transubstantiation, but you've never believed and received by faith Jesus and Jesus alone. Some priest or some father or some man may have pronounced a blessing, but you personally must believe and receive. And you know enough to know that Jesus died for you, know enough to know you're a sinner, but you got to receive him by faith. And today could be that day. Not trusting any doctrine, just trusting the shed blood and broken body of Jesus Christ to him personally. Pastor, I'm here today, and I don't know that I've ever received the Lord internally by faith. I've done a lot of physical things, but just simple acknowledgement and belief upon him and opening my heart to him, I don't know that I've done that. Today would be the day to do that. Today would be the day to do that. In a moment, we're going to give a song of invitation. Men will be here. Ladies will be here with a Bible. If you would love us to show you how you could come to faith in Jesus today and in essence eat and drink and be satisfied, I'd love to take a Bible and show that. Do not believe in a man doctrine. Believe in the doctrine of the Word of God. Christian, the Word ought to strengthen you today. The Word ought to settle you today. You know, I eat food every day. It nourishes me physically. Jesus is to be nourishment every day. Not for salvation, but for strength. For encouragement. For direction. You get hungry, don't run to somebody else. Run to him. Maybe God's spoken to you today. Would you stand, please? Our song of invitation. It's Jesus paid it all. Heavenly Father, have your way now. Move in our midst today. Lord, there might be somebody watching online and they could simply bow their head and pray, Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I believe upon you as a payment for my sin. I do want to, in essence, consume you today by faith. And I want to be born again. I want to have life that you give. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Be my Lord and Savior. I reject all others. And I choose you as my Savior today. Lord, they could do that where they are. The ones in the room could come. Let us take a Bible and show them how. Move in our hearts now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your voice. Come if God's drawing you today. If you sense His pulling or nudging, that's God saying He would like you to receive His Son. I pray that you would move.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank you so much. If you know the Lord as Savior, say amen. Just think about His love. You know, I do want to do that chorus one more time. Can we do that? Now you're ready to sing. I'm forever grateful. You didn't wait for me. You came to me. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful that you love me and you drew me to your Son. What a little chorus. Sing it and we'll be dismissed. See you Wednesday night. God bless you.
To wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
And God bless you while you are dismissed.